Okay, so we're going to practice some things now. You guys have been a wonderful audience. It's great to talk about these things with you, but it helps to practice as well. So I think actually following the rosary, you get a kind of a peace of mind. You get a certain peace of talking with Our Lady, with the important things. So we're going to try to, first of all, practice empathy. I would say empathy is probably, just to be clear, one of the more challenging skills to learn, so to speak. But in marriages, which go a long time, you have plenty of opportunity for it. Empathy is particularly helpful if you feel like an argument or tension or some kind of division coming up, and you want to kind of hit the pause button, stop, and say, wait, before we get too deep into this, I want to make sure I really understand what you're telling me and how you feel about it. That's the, and sometimes men get wrapped around the axle on it because it seems so soft and fuzzy and emotional, and it's really much more cognitive. Like, let's just put it that way. Having done this in marriage therapy for a couple decades, it wasn't until I was clear about this that we get some progress, particularly with the guys. No, it's not. It's really trying to, same way you might want to understand a difficult text, or you want to kind of read a poem again to get it. Listen, can we go through that one more time, babe? I really want to understand. It's that kind of attitude and posture. I really want to understand it, and I want to understand how you feel. Those two things. And you just want to listen as intently as you can to get it. Then when you say that you think you got it meaning I think I understand what you're saying, I think I know how you feel, let me see if I got it right. So you might say, so like if Brian was to say, I'm just so mad at you for being late again. I just say, okay, let me get that. What's the deal is here? It's just that you're, it's because I was late again. And you're really disappointed. Oh, I'm not really disappointed. I'm really mad. Okay, really mad. Got it. So that would be called good empathy. I understand it. I got it. It's not the same as sympathy. Sympathy means that, excuse me, I feel the same way you do. Empathy isn't, sympathy is different because sometimes, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry that your cat died. I mean, I don't know. I normally don't take 2 weeks off of work when my cat dies, but is that what you're asking me to do? I had that happen once. And I said, it was hard for me to be sympathetic to that because I didn't quite feel the same way. But on empathy thing, I want to understand. Well, tell me why that's the case. I really want to understand what's going on with you that you would make this request and that kind of thing. So that's empathy. Does that make sense? The other thing, the other resistance we want to move out of the way is you don't have to agree to be empathic. This is really, really important. As I said, it's the same with forgiveness. You don't have to agree to forgive. Because that will stop you. See, I don't want to hear some crazy ideas. Like, let's say you're talking to a teenager or somebody young in your family that you need to connect with. Well, let's imagine, I really need to connect with my teenagers. Because if I don't talk to them, they don't talk to me. They'll talk to somebody else. And I don't like those odds. I'd rather them talking to me about stuff. So sometimes your teenagers will have ideas that are far-fetched from what you think. That's when you really want them to talk to you without you want to be empathic. So we're going to try empathy. I'd like you to do, do you have it down here, the examples that the man came up with? You accidentally sent everyone in Hawaii the missile alert. Sorry, I hit the wrong button, what can I say? So you would tell, now by the way, we're using examples here that aren't necessarily realistic in your marriage because it's easier to get the format down if it's not a red-hot topic, right? Because we bring up a red-hot topic that every couple has, it's hard. We're trying to get this new or refined repertoire in your behavior because you need it. And so you can use that example. So maybe one of you picks that one, the other one picks, you have them in front of you, right, the list? I don't have to read them. Okay, so why don't we try that? Why don't we have the women go first to read the, to be empathic. So you're going to express to your husband, or your boy,
what? They're not all husbands.
They're not all husbands?
I mean, there's, some people are with them.
Grab a
not everybody's married. There's some people who have to grab a
part of the office. Oh, you guys get all that small print? The disclaimers? Okay. Actually, it doesn't have to be your spouse. You can just do it with anybody who practices the skill. Maybe that's the point being made. Okay, good. So the thing is the art of... Now, when you're expressing something on your mind, you want to give two things here. What it is you want the person to understand, and how you feel about it. So let's just try it. All right. So how about if the women talk to a guy, and if you can, that doesn't work, just roll with it. About something that's really you feel very strong about, and you have a strong emotional reaction, and go. What? Yeah, they can use the examples. So do you want me to practice the examples? May I proceed? I think I got that. The goal here is that you understood. I mean, really understand. By the way, I don't want to minimize understanding. We can fall in love with people that really understand us. We love being understood. So it's not a trivial thing in a marriage to truly try to understand. Really try to understand. A lot of affairs, working in marriage therapy for decades, where people have affairs, sometimes the reason is she or he really understood me. I just wasn't getting that connection with my spouse. So understanding is very important, but also that you understand how he or she felt. Content and feeling. Now, by the way, so you want to express that. You want to get in the habit of talking on this level. People rarely say no to this. I got something really, really important to talk to you about. How about if we meet for a glass of wine after work, and what do you think? And chances are that's going to be I'll be there. Yeah, that's great. Okay? And these days, you do sometimes more maybe than other days have to schedule time to talk. It just might not happen, particularly when you get a big family and a lot of things going on. The last one is the underlying positive. Again, the great temptation with the underlying positive is you're just putting a happy face on a tough situation, or I'm just going to give you some compliments to set you up for the left jab, right, under the chin. So really what the underlying positive is, it's a commitment. This is a little bit easier for cholerics and sanguines, it's a little harder for phlegmatics and melancholics. I know as a phlegmatic melancholic, this has not been easy for me. It's getting easier if you keep practicing it. It's really to attune yourself to look for the good. Right? We're Catholics, we spread the good news. We should be attuned to look for the good as an exercise, you know, just like anything. What's the best thing going with my kids, my spouse, my job, my neighborhood? It doesn't mean that there isn't trouble and bad stuff. So that's kind of a false dichotomy of being, I'm going to be really positive, being real negative. But you do want to be a person, particularly in loving situations, a person who identifies the good that's going on. Because that needs to be addressed over and over and over again in a marriage. Saying you love somebody isn't like something, so I said that a decade ago, do I need to repeat it? Yeah, you do. All the time. Or I said my prayers a couple months ago to God, does I have to do it more? Yeah, so loving things must be visited many, many, many times. Many times to keep, because it's organic and it's alive, and you have to keep feeding it. So practicing the underlying positive is two things. One, it's a defense against the negative sentiment override. A negative sentiment override, oh gosh, so often in marriage counseling, it walks in the door before the couple does. There's so much contempt, there's so much anger and hatred towards each other, and you're going to have to go chipping away at that. But that was a broken window 10 years ago that was never fixed. You know, you see a house, it's got a broken window, they never fix it. Do things get better? Things don't get better. Same thing in our marriage, our relationships. There's something's wrong, it's not right. We don't deal with it. We let it go. It grows, it grows, it grows. So we want to really get in the habit of being comfortable talking about problems. Like I said earlier, marriages where there's a sense of giving up and not talking about problems can be a marriage death march. We don't want that. So we do want to be practiced. So one is to eclipse and take off the table the negative sentiment override. The other is to get in the practice of showing overt appreciation. And by the way, when your kids look up and they see mom and dad showing overt appreciation by compliments and love and stuff, man, the world's a better place. Then when you take them to church, you don't have to convince them too much that God's a loving father. They've seen that movie before at home with you guys. All right, so let's practice this. The underlying positive, we're going to use it though in a situation where you might want to bring up a tough topic. Or not, it's a mildly conflictual topic, let's just kind of say. Like, I want to start having date nights every week. Let's just talk about that. I don't know if that's easy or hard for where you're at, right? And, you know, there's budget problems, and you work too much, and we got the kids, and babysitters are nothing but knuckleheads. You got all those kind of things to think about that are going to come rushing in, right? But for whatever reason, and you're going to give the reason, I want to go out with you once a night every week. Because, and then you can fill in the blank. So that's the task, trying to talk the other person into hearing you. Now you're going to listen with empathy. Okay, the reason you really want to go out with me every week is because we have some great time together. You get to talk, you get to know each other better, and that's what you love. Let's say that would be an example of an empathic response.